Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yatshalom. We're now studying Masechet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Amud. And today we'll be looking at both halves of Mishnah Zion, which is broken up into two parts, both representing the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer about Matnat Shchimira. Hamachalek Nechasav Al Piv, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bari, Echad Bari Echad Mesukan, Nechasim Shusam Achorin, Nuklim Bechazach Shlav Achazaka, He rejects the whole notion of Matnat Shchimira and says that whether or not the person is in danger or is healthy, karka has to be bought through the normal kinyanim of karka, and metaltalin have to be bought through the normal kinyan of metaltalin. Amrulo, and so they responded to him with this story that we've heard several times. Ma'aseh mi'iman shel b'nei Rochel shaita cholav amra b'nu k'vinati leviti. So that's the part that we've seen all the time about this woman who had sons and she was on her deathbed and she wanted a particular brooch to be given to her daughter, and that's what she said, and they gave it to her, which we used before to prove that matnat shchimira v'miktzat lo tzricha kinyan, and then we answered no, this was a case where she was giving everything away. But here it seems very clear the girl was not at the bedside, and she directed that that should be given to her, and though, even though she didn't make mashicha, take mashicha, it still worked. Amar lehen, Rabbi Elazar answered to them, B'nei Rochel tik b'rei miman, that B'nei Rochel should have been buried by their mother, meaning that the brothers were evil, and because they were evil, Chachamim gave the gift to the sister as a way of sort of finding them. In other words, normally that wouldn't work. That was his response to the story. Okay, Tanya. Amar lahen Rabbi Eliezer l'chachamim. We get more information. Ma'aseh maroni echad sheh b'Yerushalayim. This we saw in Kiddushin in the sugya of Kinyan Agav. There was a fellow in Yerushalayim, Vayulo, a guy from the small village of Maron, not Maron up north, but Maroni. Vayulo metaltalin harbei uvikesh l'nem matana. He had a lot of metaltalin. We wanted to give them away. Amrulo enlam takanat shikna ikna galakarka. He said the only way you can give it to somebody who's not present to take do mashicha or akbar, whatever it may be, is if you do a kinyan agav. Halach v'lakach beit selach echad samuch Yerushalayim. So he bought a small piece of property near Yerushalayim. V'amar tzfono liploni v'imo me'atzon u'me'achaviyot. So he said, I'm giving the north little corner of that thing to Ploni. And this is how we discussed that you don't need tzurot, that you don't need agavan, that the metaltalin don't have to be on top of the, on the karka, they could be anywhere. And so he gave him 100 barrels of wine and 100 sheep, along with this land. They gave the south part of his little piece of property to somebody else, and he gave some flock and some barrels with that. And then he died, and it worked, and then he fulfilled it, which means, Rabbi Eliezer is reading this as a story of a guy who was on his deathbed, which means even a shchimira can't give it away without a proper kinyan. So Amrulo Misham Raya Maroni Bariya. They said that's not what happened in the story. In the story, this guy was a healthy guy. He was a regular kinyan. And later on in his life, when he died, maybe he died soon afterwards, they fulfilled his words. And to prove that kinyan agav works, and agav, perhaps the karka doesn't even have to be dalat amot, and the stuff doesn't have to be on the karka, fine. But this is not a case of Matnat Shchimira. The best proof of that, of course, in the story is that what did he do? He went and bought. Sounds like he was up and about and doing business and buying real estate and wasn't at death's door. Okay, Amar Lahan. So now back to the Mishnah. B'nei Rochel tik b'rei miman. So my time akalayidla. Well, why did Rabbi Elazar curse these guys? What did they do so bad that Rabbi Elazar made them an exception? Meaning, in this case, we'll give the girl the stuff. Amar v'yud Amar Shmuel mekaymei kotzi mecherem hayu. So Shmuel says, these were guys who kept thorns around in a kerem. Rabbi Elazar the Tamen, it's Rabbi Elazar's own approach. He holds that that's a problem of kilayim. Dinan. Hamakayem kotzim b'kerem. Rabbi Elazar mer kidesh, chachamim lo kidesh. Rabbi Elazar says that, that they are kilayim, and the kerem is asur, and chachamim say lo kidesh ela rashi kavam makamin. The only thing that is makadesh, it becomes usur if it's left in a kerem, is the kind of thing that people deliberately grow. People don't grow kotzim. So bishtama karcho mechazei. I understand if it was some sort of a plant that grows, so it's something that you would keep, right? Ela kotzim lemechazei. Well, thorns. Why would Rabbi Elazar possibly think that thorns have any value such that keeping them around in a kerem and not getting rid of them makes them kodesh. They're not used for anything. It turns out that in the Arab Peninsula, because they had a lot of camels, they were travelers, therefore they would keep thorns around in the fields, as evidently it was something that the camels would use, the camels would eat, whatever, munch on, and therefore they would deliberately keep them. So therefore he said, since that's the case, everywhere it becomes a problem for kilayim. Now, back to our Mishnah, Rabbi Levi, Konin Kinyan Mishchimir Afilu B'Shabbat. You can do the Kinyan Mishchimir on Shabbat. V'lo lachush to the Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that you have to make a real Kinyan. He said, no, that a Kinyan Mishchimir could say whatever he says on Shabbat, we could fulfill it. The whole reason for Kinyan Mishchimir and for relaxing the rules of Kinyan is because he may not be able to get around to it. And so Shabbat becomes a critical point where you can't do a proper Kinyan and he may die before Shabbat's over. And he wants to make sure his will, his interests are taken care of. Which leads us to the second half of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Meir, Shabbat Dvarav Kayamin. So Rabbi Eliezer seems to step back and say, if he does it on Shabbat, then it works. Because we can't write it down. So if he says something, it's as if it's written. But chol, you could write it down. Therefore, without writing it down, it doesn't work. Rabbi Shua turns it inside out and said, if the Shchibirah's command on Shabbat works when you can't write it down, it works on chol where you could write it down, even if you didn't. And we have a parallel machlok. You can make a kinyan on behalf of a kid, but not on behalf of an adult. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, taking the same approach, that anything that you could do the right way, we're not going to allow you the minimal way. Rabbi Shua takes the opposite approach, says if you could do it when there's no other way, certainly you could do it when there are options. Now, matnitid mani. Question is, who's the author of our Mishnah? Because there are two versions of the Machlok, Rabbi Eliezer, and Yeshua. The answer is Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda, of course, a later Tana. A Tanya. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer B'chol, Rav Kaim Neshia Chol Tov Elo B'Shabbat. In Rabbi Meir's take, Rabbi Eliezer only allowed us to accept the words of a Shchemirah on Chol, because it could be written. Therefore, if he said it and then died, we'll write it down, but not on Shabbat. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, and then in Rabbi Meir's take, Rabbi Yeshua Omer B'chol Amru Kavachom B'Shabbat. He turns it inside out and says, if B'chol, when the Shchemirah says what he does, we fulfill it certainly on Shabbat. And so again, the same parallel about the Zechiyah, the Gadol, Rabbi Eliezer said you can only take a Kinyan on behalf of Gadol, and this intersects a little bit with the Mishnah in Sugi and Bab Metzia in the first parak and the Sugi of Peah there. Rabbi Eliezer says you can make a kinyan on behalf of an adult, but not for a katan, because the adult could make it himself, just like chol versus Shabbat. Rabbi Shua turns it inside out and says, if you could make a kinyan for someone who could do it by himself, then certainly you could do it for a katan who can't. Rabbi Yehuda has our Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Shabbat Yivrav Kamin, Mei Sheyachol, Eino Yachol Yichtov, Avalo B'chol, Rabbi Shua Omer, Rabbi Shabbat Yivrav Kamin, Mei Sheyachol, Eino Yachol. So basically, Rabbi Yeshua takes the same thinking as Rabbi Eliezer in Rabbi Meir's approach. But he says you can do both. Exactly like our Mishnah. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick it up Mishnah Chet, which deals with a whole different topic about when different relatives are killed in an accident and there are claims as to who died first. Something that we last saw in Masachet Yevamot, vis-a-vis the different consequences that will happen depending on the sequence of death. But in the meantime, we'll hold it off at this point, and everybody should have a wonderful day.